ballistic rocket that can carry a heavy nuclear warhead. Speaking to reporters during a visit to China, Putin said there is nothing good about the launch. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Val Dior.
3, 2, 1, it's showtime. Ladies, prepare to excite your senses. The world-famous Hunkster Show Ladies Night Out is coming. Are you ready for this? Two nights. Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at 7:30 inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets are just $10. The number one name in entertainment for women direct from the Las Vegas Strip. Live and in person, these chiseled hunks will be taking the stage for two nights of fun and fantasy. Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at Wind River Resort and Casino. Doors open at 6:30. Show starts at 7:30. The world-famous men of Hunks the Show will make your fantasies a reality and leave you breathless. Girls, make plans to attend the biggest ladies' night of the year and see why Hunks the Show is the number one male review in the world. Now, ladies, this will be a sellout event, so get your tickets today. For details, log on to windriver.com. Must be 21 to attend. Hunks are better. Hunks the Show. Hunks are better. Friday and Saturday, June 9th and 10th. It's better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I am Chauncey Haworth, your fearful host, and this is my sidekick tonight, Sean.
Hello.
Sean. All right, Sean, I'd like to tell you a little story.
All right, I'm listening.
Although you were there.
Hmm.
A couple weeks ago, we had a show about Nibiru.
Ah, I remember this well.
Yeah. And, you know, we sat around and we bantered back and forth about the history of Zachariah Sitchin. And we really covered a lot of the history. But yeah.
I may have said some snarky things about the likelihood of Nibiru being a thing.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm familiar with your lousy attitude, Sean.
Okay.
And, you know, before the show, I had done some prep work and I had gone to a couple of Facebook groups and... And asked some questions and so on and so forth. And I really got a lot of vague answers out of those questions, although a lot of them ended their communications with me with, time is short.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that in an existential sense. You know, right. We are all mortal and doomed to die eventually.
I think they were being a little more specific.
Okay.
But So we did the show, and they listened, and I appreciate them listening. But afterwards, they were none too pleased with our show. They thought we were very uneducated on the topic, at least in its current state.
Yes, I am guilty of that.
And, you know, I guess they were right. You know, there's some stuff in the news about the end is nigh sometime in October, stuff like that. And so what I did is I went back to this group, and I asked them, you know, well, who should we be going after to find out more? And
seekers that we are.
Right. And they connected me with tonight's guest, Samuel Hoffman.
Uh-huh.
And I was a little wary at first because I kind of felt like there was a big shroud of doom and gloom over where this group was coming from. And but I've talked to Samuel several times, and he is not a doom and gloom guy. He is not the end is nigh and stuff like that. He is articulate, and he is going to share with us tonight his views on us being a binary solar system.
Wouldn't that involve there being an extra sun?
What that would involve.
Clearly, I have only dipped my finger into the right. massive bathtub that it is this topic.
That's true. You know, most solar systems that we have found, statistically, most solar systems that we have found are binary.
Really?
Yeah. So binary is actually the norm. to be a solitary solar system is much less common. So, you know, that might add a little something to this. But there's something extra mysterious about space. You know, if you learn something about the dirt and you learn something about an animal, you can go see that animal in the zoo. You can learn about the dirt upon which you stand. But space is something that we are really ultimately just taking a lot of people's word for.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you think about how we come to these observations, it's smart people, to be sure, but, you know, they're looking through their massive telescopes, and they're, you know, looking at a lot of numbers and pieces of paper. You know,
it's, right, things
whether
that are,
or not they're right, it is very abstract.
Yeah, and generally beyond your normal brain's comprehension, at least beyond mine, you know, and I'm at least as smart as the average bear, I think.
Sure. The average person.
Right. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, the moon is a prime example. You know, a lot of people think we didn't go to the moon, and everybody's all, well, that's lame. But, you know, for that stuff to have been faked, it was scientifically, technologically possible for them to fake it at the time.
Sure.
Meaning what's going on now, you know. So I think a large part of what we're going to learn about is why this is being hidden from us, why this is not being communicated to us.
Well, that is a good question. I would like to know the answer. I don't know fully what we're talking about, but the idea of someone not telling me something rankles me a little bit.
So. Well, yeah. just to recap a little bit of this. To recap a little bit of the history, you know, the Zachariah Sitchin, he translated ancient cuneiform tablets from Sumer and Mesopotamia and translated them as fact that there was another planet, Nibiru, that was on a 3,600-year orbit. Since then, it's sort of evolved into maybe not being a planet, but being part of its own binary solar system. So it's actually its own star with its own set of planets around it.
Well, we didn't cover that at all last time. We were just talking.
We touched down on it, but a lot of what we were touching down on was the history of Zachariah Sitchin.
Well, we talked a little bit about the real Planet X ideas that were circulating out there.
Right.
And the idea that there may be some shadowy ice giant like Neptune, for example, floating around there influencing other bodies that we can detect.
Right. Well, tonight we're going to find out what the truth is.
Okay. I like truth. I'm a big fan.
All right.
To be honest.
You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we have guest Samuel Hoffman. Stick around.
My name is Justin with Vivid Details. Auto detailing should be a part of your maintenance, not just a luxury. Here at Vivid Details, we make your car feel and look like new. We specialize in paint correction, headlight restoration, scratch removal, carpet and upholstery shampooing, and much, much more. We give your car that new car shine every time. Remember, not all detailers have experience, equipment, or training to make your vehicle look and smell like new, but we do. We are fully licensed and insured, so give us a call today at 530-604-7380 or come visit our new shop located at 30 Hilltop Drive.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Mark, I can't wait for this month's second Tuesday dinner at Peter Chu's Sky Room. It's a great Chinese restaurant, and I am obsessed with their cashew chicken.
I know what you mean. I love the variety of options, so I always order something new. Peter Chu's offers many different options, including Mandarin, Szechuan, and Hunan cuisine. Please join us on Tuesday, June 13th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Peter Chu's on Airport Drive as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane to help care for the animals and work toward placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This is Joe McKenna, CEO of CloudWise Academy and your host of the Digital Revolution Show. If you own a business, run a business, or want to start a business, then this show is for you. I'll pull back the green curtain exposing how the internet is impacting your business and give you the rules and tools to take control. If it's related to the internet and matters to business, we'll be talking about it here. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to the Digital Revolution Show on KCNR 1460.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We have our guest tonight, Samuel Hoffman. Are you on the air with us, Samuel?
I sure am. How are you doing today?
Oh, good, good, good. I'm really happy that you were able to make it onto the show. I'm happy to learn what you have to tell us. I was thinking I would start out with, just kind of cut to the chase and ask you, how did you initially get involved with the topic of Nibiru? Because when I go around and I talk to people about it, a lot of people just kind of raise an eyebrow and don't know really what I'm talking about at all.
Well, I've known about the existence of the second solar system attached to ours, a binary solar system. We actually have two groups of planets with two suns. And I wrote a paper on that in 1978-79 for a junior high school term paper. And my professor, an adjoining professor at the school that I was going to a college preparatory private school, and they turned that into a National Science Academy paper. And a few months later, the NSA and the FBI were having coffee with my parents at my house when I came home from school. And they basically offered me a job and made me sign a 30-year non-disclosure agreement prior to even telling me what this job was about. And they paid attention to the fact that my paper discussed the basics that we had to have two suns in order for the planetary count that we had within our solar system to actually be accurate, because according to atomic mass, et cetera, there was no possible way that our dwarf yellow soul could hold all these planets, especially with the gas giants and everything, way out away from the center of the solar system. So they were really interested in me, and they basically had me sign this agreement, and then this and that and the other thing transpired between the information, and I've known about it basically for about 38 years. We'll just leave it at that.
I see. So so you discovering this, you know, what made you, you know, discovering the fact that there are other planets and a binary system does not necessarily give it the label of Nibiru. What caused you to connect the two of those together?
Well, that I got that information from an off-world source that happened some years later, because I had been approached by more than one faction. And I basically ended up meeting face-to-face with a Pleiadian at one point in time. That's another story altogether that I don't really want to go into too much. But it's basically an abduction story. And when they found out that they could not control me, they were really surprised by this event, so they went and looked me up, and then when they looked me up and found out who I was and or who I will be, according to them, which is it's kind of a time loop twisty thing with the Pleiadians, because apparently they're supposedly from the future, etc. So that's another story as well. They came to me and gave me a handful of information that had matched, and not only that, I was told from the government basically, and come to find out through sharing of the information, that I was questioning why only a 30-year non-disclosure agreement, and they said, well, after that, it won't matter. And then, of course, we got the information from...
That's terrifying.
Zachariah Sitchin and all these other things that pointed to it. Way back in the 70s, they had the Planet X discussion about the aberration in the orbit beyond... Uranus and all of that, and they were wondering about the Planet X system. Well, through the information that I discovered, I knew that they were going to be here, and most everyone back, 25 years ago also knew about that, who was studying into it, that Planet X would arrive within a certain period of time. And along about 2009, early 2010, I'm out in my yard, and I'm looking up, and all of a sudden I see, holy cow, I see a full-on side-lit two-thirds crescent flare of a very massive, massive planet. And I immediately knew, oh, my God, they're here. And so, and then the information that I was given and another series of information that I looked up on the Internet come, 2009, 2010 as well, I found some information that fell into place that matched that which I had already learned. And I went, holy cow. Now, that information you can't even drum up on the Internet today, because a good portion of the information that they have had up there at one point in time has been removed, because they're doing their darndest to shut this down as much as they can. Now, they let a lot of these sites that are running on and rambling about disinformation, they leave those guys alone. But the people who are accurate, they get crushed. They get shut down. They get blocked. 2 months after I started doing openly talking about what I knew, after my non-disclosure agreement had ended, because believe me, the threats were so strong, I never said a word about this prior to anyone. I followed the rules, period. But anyway, I just lost the topic. But
Actually, I ramble on.
Go ahead and ask me your next question.
Yeah, I have a question.
Have I answered your question?
There's too many of them to count. So as long as we're getting some great information, that's all we care about. You're doing fine.
Well, I'm hoping that because sometimes I digress off the topic.
Well, it's not a problem. So you did end up working with the government for a while then.
Briefly for a short period of time. I ran into some scientists face-to-face, and we were discussing, and they were asking me how I could base my subatomic theory on why the solar system. I believe in the electric universe. I don't believe in the standard gravitational put forth by Einstein and them searching for the unification model, because Einstein's theory is basically incorrect. And everything is, we live in an electric universe. Everything is the same in the subatomic set of chemistry rules as well as in the astroatomic. Now, I've referred to it as astroatomic because that's how I believe it to be. So that which exists in the finite, in the tabletop, also exists in space. It's the same set of rules, unification period. One rule.
I see. And so how did your relationship with the government end?
The scientists got really upset with me, and they started calling me names to my face. And I run into this still to this day. When people find that their beliefs are laid out the way they are and you hit cognizant dissonance, all of a sudden they get very mad at you, and they get very, you know, oh, I know what I know, and you can't tell me different. So they start screaming at me, and I finally said I'd had enough of this. But unfortunately, I was being treated at that time as pretty much a prisoner, and I was told that I couldn't leave the country. I had to remain in federal government employee, and period, period, et cetera, et cetera. And this, we're broaching on some material I don't really like to talk about. But
that's right.
Basically, we were rather not getting along very well. They had given me a house and a car and all of this other stuff. But basically what it was is I was going to end up living, you know, on the base at Langley for the rest of my life, as far as I could see. So I was very uncomfortable with this. And so they brought me back to Montana after I begged to be released. And supposedly, now I don't really remember a good portion of parts of it because my memory was supposedly erased, and because that was the only way I was going to be allowed to leave. So they brought me back to Montana in handcuffs and dropped me off and said, you don't exist anymore, and you better go back and you know, re-sign up for the rest of the world, which is what I ended up having to do. And I got back to my apartment, and my roommates had wondered where I'd been, and they had re-rented out my apartment to somebody else because I'd been gone for so long, months and months and months. And so, anyway.
All right. So do you find that you find a lot of scientific... Now, I realize that you have an ample following of people, like mm-hmm. myself, online, but do you find that other scientists are starting to agree with you?
A lot of people a lot of science is just starting to catch up with the electric universe theory. Now, we don't spiral around our solar system in the same place, like on a dinner plate and with a gravity well, like Einstein proposed. What we do is we follow in a static spiral behind our star, which moves in virgin space constantly, and we're currently heading toward the middle of the galactic plane. People out there may have noticed that our stars have changed really drastically in the last 9 or 10 years. To constellations aren't where they're supposed to be, the what Milky Way has moved, etc., because we're traveling to the northern ecliptic plane of our galaxy, which is also defined in the Mayan calendar by the 13th Bakhtum. And so what we are is we're a pair of tandem stars that are spiraling. Now, 83% of all solar systems have two or more, a binary or a trinary or a quadrinary group of stars. And there, in some cases, some stars can actually be, an older star can be embedded in the side of a new star even. So there's a lot going on that you know, standard teachings and standard education do not actually understand. We travel in a spiral. It's like when you pull one sock out of the dryer, you get three. It has to do with a static cling and the Nibiru system and its eight planets and our system and our nine planets. Of course, you know, we've removed Pluto. And Ceres and...
Well, let me cut you off there. We'll get right back. We'll get right back into that.
If there's a larger overall planet count, then people realize we're kind of a compound in space. We're a chemistry equation.
Well, we're about to go to break. Let me cut you off right there, and we're going to come back to what these two solar systems entail, what planets they entail. Right after the break, we have Samuel Hoffman as our guest on Radio Wasteland.
you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, May 19th at 7:30 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Do you back the blue? This is Ken White of the Good News Rescue Mission. You're invited to Blue, the Mission Spring Fundraising Luncheon on May 17th as we celebrate the unbelievable stories and positive impacts of law enforcement in the lives of women and children. You'll also hear from four-time Ironman and active Jeunesse County, Michigan Undersheriff Chris Swanson as he shares a much-needed inspirational message for our time. And we'll be making a big announcement in conjunction with We Back the Blue that day, so you won't want to miss it. Purchase your table today at gnrm.org.
Wings of Summer Butterflies opens at Turtle Bay for a limited engagement again this summer. From May 1st through June 18th, you can observe hundreds of butterflies in our newly updated Tranquil Enclosed Butterfly House. Up to 32 species of butterflies will arrive as chrysalis and will eclose in the butterfly house. And you can witness the magical experience or even release your own butterfly for just $1. The Butterfly House is open daily starting Saturday, May 6th. Wings of Summer Butterflies is presented by the McConnell Foundation. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful.
Summer's On Us sales event is back at Reading Kia, and it's amazing.
Let's go summer!
Get 0% financing for 66 months and make no payments for 5 months. Plus, Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you.
You could use all of that money you're saving to have a great summer vacation.
This offer good on all new 2017 Kia Sorentos, Optimas, Souls, and Fortes.
If you're in the market for a new car anytime within the next 5 months, don't let this great deal pass you by. The Summer's On Us sales event is back at Reading Kia,
where every vehicle sold comes with free lifetime oil changes and tire rotations.
Come visit Reading Kia's brand new dealership and see for yourself on approval to credit plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, any electronic filing charge, and any emission testing fee. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for Summer's On Us offer. 0% for 66 months is $15.15 per 1,000 finance. Sale ends July 10th.
We both own Kias and we love them. Reading Kia, Facebook, YouTube,
ReadingKia.com.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Samuel Hoffman. We are talking about Nibiru. Samuel, are you with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, great. So, you know, it seems like in the history of Nibiru, initially it was considered to be a planet, its own planet, but in your model, it is one of several planets around its own star. Is that correct?
Correct. There is a standard red attached to, or they're attached to the standard red. There is Nibiru, which is approximately seven times the size of Earth, Ceru, which is five times the size of Earth. Now, those are both water-type planets, which is the one size up compared to a rock-type planet, which is Earth, etc. There is two gas giants, Attu and Uri. Uri is the larger of the two. It's got huge white-gray stripes. Attu is very, very purple. Now, Nibiru is a deep, dark blue, and Ceru is a light greenish blue because its oceans are less deep. There is Isatum, which is a reddish planet. It has a yellow-faced moon, is what puts off the winged tail that everybody through Internet blow-up has assumed is Nibiru. Nibiru is not a red planet. Now, the red planet they're talking about is the gas, or is the massive, huge Imaru, which is currently on the opposite side of our sun, or should I say our suns, because currently right now both of our suns are tandemly orbiting each other. And the crazy stuff that's going on with our sun has to do with the larger standard red drawing off the energy backwards towards it. Now, it arrived after the other ones, and I have to reinsert this, it's actually not them arriving to us, it's us arriving to them. Our solar system joins with their solar system every 3,654 years through a static scenario and or for other reasons that are beyond me. And then they have a static discharge between the two suns. And that was the back blow CMEs back in early 2012. And you can go look that up. There's Isatum, there's Nibiru, Isatum, Nepesity, and Matim. Matim is a small, tiny blue planet, and Nepesity is green, and as we previously discussed, Isatum is reddish.
So I noticed that you said that the, I guess before we move on, does the star itself have a name, like ours is Sol?
I couldn't hear you. Could you say that again?
Does the star itself have a name?
I don't know.
Because a lot of people
really
call it Nemesis.
I
just didn't know if you went with
it. Standard red. Now, we watched it come in and join in roughly late 2011. It started showing up in our membership from Montana Skywatchers on Facebook. We saw our members started seeing, capturing pictures of it. And then it got closer and closer and closer. And we first noticed that Nibiru was one of the major planets that we started seeing. Now, perhaps some of the other ones escaped our attention prior to, because recognition of these planets is not necessarily that easy, because people assume that you're going to see a planet, this little thing way off in the distance. And basically, they came in from underneath us, or we joined, and they were below us, and we were above them, so they came up upon our ecliptic plane over a period of time. And the first major sightings of Nibiru was up in the north, and myself and some other folks up north of me were comparing, and that's what we do on our website on Facebook, mm-hmm. is we use all of the members to compare sky shots. And then when you have a cloud that exists, say, for instance, in Maine, or a cloud that the same cloud exists in California and the same cloud exists in France, well, excuse me, that's not a cloud. That's something above the clouds. So we started noticing these patterns, and it had matched some of my information, and we weren't fully sure yet of the names and everything until one after another, after about 2 years, they filed in and they matched all the information that we had. So prior to that, we were just calling it the blue planet and the red planet and the green planet. And then the thing with it is, and this is something I really have to stress, because I hear this all the time from people, oh, I was looking next to the sun and it was way out there. But they have been between us and the sun, and so we've only seen their dark side for a period of time, and only just recently have they started coming in behind us where they're being facially illuminated. And that was within the last, since probably about February of this year. And that has affected the magnetospheres, imagery in a lot of the computer models that we're seeing as well. And we've had many, many close passes toward Earth, and what people don't understand is these are sky fillers. They're not these little dots out there in space. You're not looking for a little round thing the size of the moon, even. You're looking for something that is passing close by, and Nibiru and Ceru are so massive, as well as Uri. Uri is quite large as well. They are so massive, they literally fill one end of our sky to the other. And the best way to find these guys is to look up with a pair of gray-black sunglasses. Don't get welding glasses or anything like that because you won't see it, especially, you know, it's just all green. But what you're looking for is a dark blue shadow in the sky. If you go back to movies that were filmed in the 70s and the 80s, you see this just everything's a standard light, pretty blue with normal little clouds. But if you look at our clouds today, there's these dark areas. They're shadowy, and it's kind of like, wow, what's that? And especially folks down at sea level. See, I'm up here in Montana, and I'm about 5,000 feet, and we get a completely different view up here than everybody down at sea level in the lower levels. So what the folks down at the lower levels need to look for are these dark, dark areas. And each one of the planets, when they come for a sequential close pass, they put off a base cloud. And there's a group of pattern-forming clouds that they all have their independent own kind. Now, on our site, that we've drawn pictures of this. We've seen it over the last 7 years that they've been here. And so we've come to identify who was who and what the base cloud of Uri is, very bubbly. And in a lot of cases, over the last 4 or 5 months, we've had Uri directly over the top of us. And it literally cuts off half the sun. And this is why we've had a dimming and a hazing, and everything looks milky for those people at the lower levels. And they kind of wonder, like, what's wrong with the sun? Well, it's because half of our sunlight is being cut off. And then there's a lot of folks on the Mexican webcams and everything who have been seeing this huge, humongous flaring in the sky. And that is a facial illumination of the planet that is cutting off the sun, because the sunlight goes into the atmosphere, and then it refracts and then illuminates inside the atmosphere of the planet and creates this huge halo effect. And it's not a lens flare or anything like this. This is an actual existent flare that is created from the cutoff of the planets, cutting off the distance view between us and our star.
Well, I have a question for you here.
Go ahead.
At one point, you were saying that the orbit is every 3,600 years. Now, that's the same orbit that Zachariah Sitchin had said for Nibiru as the 12th planet.
Right.
In our case, it'd be the ninth planet, but, you know, there's a story behind that, and we all get that. So do you think that Zachariah Sitchin was on to something?
Well, I think it was horrendously accurate. The clay tablets from the Sumerian people were very accurate. They were written down, I believe, at the other beginning or prior to the last cycle. Now, if you look back through history, 3,654 years ago, which was the end of the Mycenaean period and the beginning of the Bronze Age, we had this quote-unquote sinking of Atlantis. We had I'm trying to think of those places in Greece and Rome where all of the volcanoes went.
Like Vesuvius.
You know, Pompeii and all of that occurred. Major climate change. It even is written in the Bible that, you know, that there are two suns. That and we, the smaller of the sun, took care of the earth.
So do you think that there's life on any of these planets?
I know for a fact there is.
So there is?
Yes, there are three life. I'm told that there are three life forms that live on this group of planets.
So he was on to something with this
Oh, absolutely. You know, without a doubt, I don't for a second doubt his material at all. That or Emmanuel Velikovsky, Worlds in Collision.
Right.
I understand a good portion of his material, and I agree with 90-some-odd percent of it.
Okay, well, we're coming up on break here. I got a few more questions for you after break. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Samuel Hoffman, talking about Nibiru. Stick around. Some say that's when that began, on this wasted piece of land where evolution's yet to show. So blasting into outer space, the planet of the apes, evolution quite evil. Let's take a plane into another dimension, now they hear it to the future. Let's take a path into another dimension, we may unseen. Back
After we inspected a vehicle with a driving problem, I called the insurance company, Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The insurance adjuster seemed skeptical because the vehicle had recently been repaired, so I invited him to inspect it. The first area was only 1/8 inch off, as was the second. He said, I don't see a problem. Each area is within tolerance. Tolerance is accumulative, I said. This car is 1/4 inch short on one side, and that will amplify over the length of the car. When measured the full length, the wheels will not align. Accumulative damage is often not understood. He said he would check with the shop to do the repair. He called later and said, they are frustrated, because no matter how perfect they make it, Coachmaster can always make it better. I replied, if we can make it better, it was not perfect. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Protect yourself with Pirate Secret Premium Beard Oil, a legendary potion that keeps your beard smooth and your skin soft. It is the Cadillac of all premium beard oils. No other beard oil contains the protection from the elements like Pirate Secret. Your beard will be cleaner. Plus, it eliminates beard dandruff and can be used as moisturizing, naturally antiseptic aftershave. The best part is, it smells like adventure. Available at Enjoy the Store, Orchard Nutrition, Country Organics, and in Chico, Arcata, and Weed. Find out more at PirateSecret.com.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Time for a wardrobe update? Check in with the ladies of Dandelion. They can help you with all of your fashion needs, from designer jewelry to the latest jeans. They have you covered head to toe. Stop in for a personal touch with fabulous stylists who greet you at the door. Dandelion Boutique in the heart of downtown Reading, 1322 Pine Street, or give them a call, 247-1292. That's Dandelion, unique gifts and clothing.
My living off the evening news. Just give me something, something I can use. People love it when you lose. Feel I've done it, laundry.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland with our guest Samuel Hoffman. We are talking about Nibiru. You know, we're coming up. This is our last segment of the show, so I got a big question to ask you, Samuel, and that is, why don't people want us to know this? We have rock star physicists, people like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Michiru Kaku, these people who are out there educating and having people know, and people are following them like the rock stars of physics. Why don't they want us to know about this?
Well, first of all, if we knew the truth about our existence, we wouldn't be so pleased about it. The powers that be that are currently ruling our planet right now are swiftly jostling for a level of authority and to maintain their power. The Earth has a tendency
I think everybody
to
break would up agree with that
in geological mm-hmm. terms and weather terms at every visit. But that is necessity to the function of our planet. We are a factory planet. We produce commodities that the other planets use for the other races, and part of these commodities, one of the major commodities, is gold. And Earth has to re-break up with tectonic plate transference of electricity between quartz electricity, etc., to remake the next supply of gold. They consume it in their diet, they use it in their technology, it prolongs their life in monatomic gold, etc. And that's why you'll find most of the early landing bases with these large, gigantic stones that we can't carve and move to this day yet, you know, the 100-ton monoliths and stuff that have been moved over the past. You know, there's a couple in Jerusalem and here and there. And those are all at sites where the monatomic gold can be retrieved from, like the Dead Sea is number one, I believe. And they take in this monatomic gold, and it prolongs the other race's life, whereas we are a short-lived version of 12 separate races that have been combined genetically to make that which we are today.
Are we, as a lot of people have speculated, are we created to be slave labor?
Correct.
Yeah, and this is why people don't want us to know.
Do not want us to know that, because they're jostling for a level of control over us. And basically what happens every, and you can go back in history, and we would at one point in time boiled down to like 273 individuals that are making up our genetic makeup now, now that they've got the genome tracking abilities that they do have. Every 3,654 years, there's a basic culling of the herd, and then we start all over again, and ingrained in our genetic makeup is our lust for gold. Now, gold is actually a luminescent product on its own. It actually puts off light. It isn't just pretty. It actually has a positive charge that other soft metals have less of, but gold has some very unique properties to it. And if you consume it, it will actually help you self-heal. You can heal yourself by consuming monatomic gold. And there goes the prices on the stock shelves all over the country. But they don't, you know, and we can go into, you know, the 9/11 thing and all of that gold disappearing, but I'd rather not.
Right. Well, I have a question for you. So when I first got connected with you, it was via some people in a Facebook group, and they really felt that I didn't know what I was talking about as far as current Nibiru is concerned. And frankly, from talking to you, they were totally right. I'm not trying to set them up. But here's the thing that they did that really kind of concerned me, is the end of their communications a lot of the time ended with time is short and things like that, you know, these sort of nefarious, scary sayings. So my question to you is, your average Joe out here, like myself and everybody else, should we be scared?
Well, currently there is a vast amount of underreporting of what's going on around the planet, and this is part of why we have the member scientists, member researchers, whatever you want to call them, all over the world. I have people in Hong Kong I talk to daily. There's people in Canada, Mexico, California, France. Some of my videos have, I'm told that my YouTube videos have just been translated to French, which is kind of interesting. I chuckled over
you
that.
You do have a very impressive online presence, I have
well,
to tell.
Thank you. and the main, so when I first started this, we couldn't find any current information. Everything was old or completely inaccurate. And so we formed up our group, and over the last 7 years, it's become a very large following. And I love, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be standing here talking today with this information if it wasn't through hundreds and hundreds of thousands of actual photographs of these planets from around the world in close pass. And we've seen their behavior. We've seen their base cloud. We know what they look like when they come in a close pass. Now, I have to state for the average person that the planets do not crash into each other. They electrically repel on close passes. And you have heard stories, I'm sure, of cattle herds dying and by, you know, the numbers and people being electrocuted by the dozens and these lightning strikes. And we just recently had a whole bunch of passes across the East Coast and up in Canada within the last month or two. And there are close passes occurring to this day. And the weather is drastically changing. There's flooding all over the world. The Earth is currently tipped. And it is wobbling like crazy. The North Pole is going around in a spiral, and we're being buffered by these passing planets, as well as what's been going on with our magnetosphere. And as they come in behind us, they disrupt our entire magnetosphere because they're larger planets and they have a larger magnetic field, which displaces ours. So there's been a lot of extreme weather. There's droughts where there normally wouldn't. There's water in the desert where it normally isn't. There's snow currently. We had it snow here yesterday up here in Montana. Normally that doesn't happen up here. And we've currently got these weather patterns. And I must also say that in the SSEC geostationary satellite imagery, we're seeing a regular daily shadowing where there's a passing planet that is cutting off a good portion of our sun, and the whole United States is being knocked into a dark shadow. And all you have to do is go up on the Internet, and you can watch it on set every day. Proof that there is an object that is close passing Earth and casting a shadow on us, which is also what's kicking up some of the cold air and the rotational storms and et cetera, et cetera.
So we
what
don't...
we're seeing is direct influence geologically, earthquakes, storms, hurricanes on land, hurricanes in the northern hemisphere, which never used to exist. We see, I'm looking currently right now at multiple rotational storms. At some point in time, a month or two ago, it was 66 degrees in the Antarctic. Now, when we first started doing this, we were looking at pictures from Neumeier Station and stuff like that. And Neumeier Station was illuminated when it was supposed to be dark for months. Everybody caught on to that. It's like, well, isn't this place supposed to be absolutely pitch dark? But it wasn't.
Well, let me cut you off there, Samuel.
Underneath us. And that's why they sent Dr. Harrington, who used my paper, by the way, down to Australia so they could set up the SETI Alpha program to watch the beginning of the entry or the joining of the two systems.
Samuel, I need to cut you off there. We're coming up on the end of the show, and I'd like to give our audience a chance to hear where they can find out more about you.
Okay.
Do you have any of that to share?
Oh, do you want me to talk?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I didn't. Oh, yeah. Sorry for warning me ahead of time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on Facebook, and you can go to Montana Sky Watchers 2, and we let just about everybody in there. Hopefully, as long as you got a face on your pic, and you can get as much information as we have listed. I'm also on YouTube. It's Understanding the Skies by Samuel Hoffman. It's on the James Klingler channel. They've got me blocked. I can't even use YouTube. I can't post on many, many sites. I just recently got onto Skype because I'm using someone else's email, which may fail now after I've said this publicly. But that's the best way to get hold of me is on the Facebook site, because apparently it's not viewed as too big of a thing. Otherwise, they would have me shut down there as well, and that may yet come.
Okay, well, you've been listening to Samuel Hoffman on Radio Wasteland. That's Hoffman with one F. And he's right. He has a very large Facebook community. If you search for Samuel Hoffman in Pages, you will definitely find it. You'll also find his YouTube channel, which is chock full of videos explaining these things in more detail. And they are really quite articulate and well-done videos. So go check them out. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Thank you very much.
Ooh, he's so cute. She's watching the detectives. When they shoot, 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 shoot. They beat it up until the teardrop start. But he can't feel wounded cause he's got no heart. A long shot of that jumping sign. Shivers running down my spine. Cut the baby, taking off her clothes. Close up of the sign that says we never close. You snatch at you and you match your cigarette. She pulls her eyes out with a face like a magnet. I don't know how much more of this I can take. She's filing her nails while they're dragging the the detectives. Oh, he's so cute. She is watching the detectives. Oh, and they shoot, 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 shoot. They beat him up until the teardrops start. But he can't do it because he's got no heart. You think you're alone until you...
Community talk radio for the North State is KCNR Shasta Redding, where the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. The White House says there is no need for a special prosecutor to investigate Russian meddling. Greg Cluxton with the details.
Democrats are demanding appointment of a special prosecutor to investigate Russia's involvement in the 2016 election and ties to Donald Trump's presidential campaign. The White House disagrees.
You have two Senate committees that are looking into this. The FBI is conducting their own review.
Spokesman Sean Spicer adds there is no collusion between President Trump and Russia. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao says the Trump administration's infrastructure plan will be out in just a few weeks.
Secretary Chao says the 10-year